The book of Lamentations tonight, I want to read one verse of Scripture, the verse number 10. And Bible said, "The adversary hath spread out his hand upon her pleasant things. For she hath seen that the heathen entered into the sanctuary, whom thou didst command that they should not enter into thy congregation." The title tonight, for this message, shall be "When Strangers Feel the Sanctuary." When strangers feel the sanctuary. Father, tonight I feel the weight of the universe upon me. I hear the hounds bay in the darkness, the hell hounds of lust and uncleanness. I realize the tremendous power of the blackness of night that is seeking to liberate the light. And I realize tonight more than ever that the ministry stands between heaven and hell. Oh God, that this sacred desk that I stand behind carries with it the eternal responsibility of souls and destiny of souls. And so, Father, if you ever stood by me, and I know that you have, if you've ever helped me, and I know that you have, help me tonight. God, when I reach for a thought, put it in my mind. Oh, God, touch these lips of clay with a Holy Ghost touch, with a coal of fire that will cleanse, and that the words that I speak would have life and would sear and burn until they found root and lodging in the hearts of men and women. God, stir our hearts together. Lord, put your hand under this judgment-bound congregation tonight. Lift us up above the hindrances, oh God, the ordinary things that draw our minds of this world. And let us for a few moments sit in that place. Ah, that place upon the encircle of the earth until we realize that all the inhabitants of the earth are but grasshoppers in His sight. And Father, tonight when we conclude this little message, would you touch our hearts and bring us to the altars again with fresh tears of repentance? And God, confessions that we are but dust and ashes, and that our frame is but dust, and we must have thy help. Father, for all we ask tonight, we're asking in the name of Jesus. And our eyes are upon you. And the congregation said, Amen. The book of Psalms. I told Brother Johnny Noel the other night, I said, the book of Psalms is easy to get lost in. It's hard for the preacher not to stay there and just preach in them. But you see, the book of Psalms has always been the place where God's people turned in times of trouble, in times of trial. This grand book of Psalms is filled, and they are rich in human experience. They're a vast storehouse of human emotions. Reading the Psalms, at times they ring with the noise of a battle. You can almost smell the brimstone and the sulfur as iron touches iron, and the clink of the shields and the groans of the victors as they fight. And then at other times, these psalms take us into the very presence of God. And with hushed hearts, we stand in the inner sanctuary and know the presence and the peace of God. Reading of the psalms can set your heart to flame and your feet to dancing. Amen. And oh, how many times when tears have run down your face and drenched your face, with drenched faces you turned again to the book of Psalms to find the comfort. When Jonah found himself in what he said was the belly of hell, he filled his short prayer with quotations from the book of Psalms. On that fateful Gethsemane night, possibly, quite probably, Jesus left the upper room with a psalm that his son ringing in his ears. He loved them, often quoted from them. And while hanging on the cross, they succored him. He quoted extensively from the book of Psalms. I love it. It's not hard to. Therefore, our message shall be found tonight in this 74th one. This 74th book of Psalms. For our message tonight is a lamentation. Not that I chose it to be so. I had rather it be victory. But I must be led by the Spirit of God. When strangers fill the sanctuary and stand in that holy place where God said they should never stand. Let us learn tonight, if the Lord will help us, how to pray and how to have faith when it would seem that they are forever forsaken and when it seems like that ungodliness has won out. O God, why hast thou cast us off forever? Why dost thine anger smoke against the sheep of thy pasture? Isn't it always that way when trouble comes? You always have to ask, why? Why is this happening to me, Lord? Why ain't you blessing me, God? Why ain't you helping me, Lord? Remember thy congregation which thou hast purchased of old, the rod of thine inheritance which thou hast redeemed, this Mount Zion wherein thou hast dwelt. Lift up thy feet unto the perpetual desolations, even all that the enemy hath done wickedly in the sanctuary. Thine enemies roar in the midst of thy congregation. They set up their ensigns for signs. A man was famous according as he hath lifted up axes upon the thick trees. But now they break down the carved work thereof at once with axes and hammers. They have cast fire into the sanctuary. They have defiled by casting down the dwelling place of thy name to the ground. They said in their hearts, let us destroy them together. They have burned up all the synagogues of God in the land. We see not our signs. There is no more any prophet, neither is there among us any that know. How long, O God, how long shall the adversary approach? Shall the enemy blaspheme thy name forever? Why withdrawest thou thine hand, even thy right hand, pluck it out of thy bosom? For God is my King of old, working salvation in the midst of the earth. Thou didst divide the sea by strength. Thou breakest the heads of the dragons in the waters. Thou breakest the heads of the leopard in pieces and giveth him to be meat to the people inhabiting the wilderness. Thou dost cleave the fountain and the flood. Thou driest up mighty rivers. The day is thine. The night also is thine. Thou hast prepared the light and the sun. Thou hast set all the borders of the earth. Thou hast made summer and winter. Remember this, that the enemy hath reproached, O Lord, that the foolish people have blasphemed thy name. Oh, deliver the soul of thy turtle dove and the multitude of the wicked. Forget not the congregation of thy poor forever. Have respect unto the covenant. For the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of cruelty. Oh, let not the oppressed return ashamed. Let the poor and needy praise thy name. Arise, O God, plead thine own cause. Remember how the foolish man reproacheth thee daily. Forget not the voice of thine enemies, the turmoil that of those that rise up against thee increaseth continually. From 1 to 23, the cry of an anguished soul. Probably this writer of this psalm, this penner of this lamentation has witnessed the destruction of Jerusalem. Probably he has seen Nebuchadnezzar's armies as they ransacked the city and tore down the sanctuary and burned the inner courts with the fire so that the shields of gold would melt and run down off the walls and they might scoop up in unsanctified hands the treasures of God. And so he sets and pens this lamentation, "Oh Lord, how long?" I want us to look at some things tonight. First of all, I want us to look at the condition. And then I want us to look at the results of that condition. And then I, by the help of God, I want us to look at the answer to that condition. Three things tonight. The condition. The enemy roars in the midst of the congregation. It is not the devil from without that shall destroy the church. It is not the liberal, Brother Stevie. It is not the charismatic that shall destroy us. I'm not afraid of them. I'm not afraid of the liberal. I'm not afraid of what they're doing from the outside. But when it comes into the inner sanctuary, when the enemy that has been known abroad finds himself at liberty to raise his idolatrous emblems in the house of God, then we are in trouble. It is when that they set up their idols at the altar of God that we're in trouble. Verse 5 said, "Once men were famous for building." Once was a time when men were renowned because they took the axe and they hewed the mighty cedar down and they made boards and planed them and sanded them and made of them carved work, and they built up the tabernacle of God, and they were famous across the land as men touched to the Spirit of God, as God called certain men and anointed them and granted them the wisdom and the cunningness that they had to build that tabernacle and to raise up the sanctuary and to make it a glorious work of art for the things of God. But now, it seems like that these forefathers that dealt death blows to the forest of sin and ungodliness, that they laid their axe unfailingly at the root of sin and boldly declared that man must be born again and separated and sanctified, that the baptism of the Holy Ghost was for every believer. It seems like that these men of old, amen, that were renowned among us, have fallen into disfavor. Amen. I thought as I began to work on this message and God began to stir my heart, I thought of some of the old men. Amen. Brother Lodge King, some of the men that you shouted with and screamed with. Amen. I wonder what they'd think of our churches today. I wonder if some that have sweated and prayed and cried and done without to build these churches and these hollers and hills, I wonder if they could come back today to bob hair and ear bobs jingling. I wonder if they come back to men married 3 and 4 times preaching from the pulpits. I wonder what they'd think. But it seems like that one time men that were renowned and held in reverence because they preached the truth, because they held the standard, amen, it seems like their own sons and grandsons have raised up in this hour and with sledgehammers and weapons have sought to destroy the very things their forefathers built. Seemed like, he said, there was a time, this psalmist, as he penned this psalm of lamentation, I wish you'd pray for me. He said, there's a time
when men were famous for building, when men were famous for moving, when men were famous for holding the standard, men that were famous because they wouldn't bow nor bend. Did you know what? Oh, that wicked Queen Mary of Scots, when she came to the throne and sought to force every man under the covenant, that blasphemous covenant that she flew her crown under and raised her sovereign over, she said of John Knox, that old preacher, that man of fire that would not come under, that would not bow down, that would be not part of that. She said, I fear the prayers of John Knox more than all the armies of Israel. Can I ask you tonight, is the devil afraid of your praying? Is the devil afraid of your prayer? When he sees you fall on your knees, does heaven tremble and listen, and hell bleach white with fear? Because a mighty man has raised his axe to fell the timbers and to hew out again. But now, it seems as if men are proud of the fact that they are destroying the temples of truth and of righteousness that their forefathers died preserving. They take delight in overthrowing all that our fathers built up, sons destroying what their fathers died to found. No one little limitation was, we are ashamed, for strangers have entered into the sanctuary. We see men with strange actions. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Men. We go into the churches that I've preached in. Men are supposed to be Holy Ghost filled men, speaking in tongues. But oh, they're a strange men with a strange mannerism. Gone is that holy boldness. Gone is that otherworldliness. Gone is that sanctity, amen, of purity. That you know these men have been alone with God, and God is talking to them, and they're talking to God. And all the words they speak are spirit and life. But instead, it seems like they've grown proud, that they've cast off the old ways. Men have stood now and said, I'm glad that we no longer preach the scathing sermons on pants and makeup and dress. I'm glad we no longer preach about the hair. My father thought it was important enough. Your forefathers thought it was important enough that they came out of the Baptist church. They came out of the Methodist church. They came out. My God, tonight, it looks to me like we Pentecostals, if we preserve our heritage, are going to have to come out again. I said, looks like we're going to have to come out again. My heart's a-breaking tonight. Oh, that travail tonight. I go out, somebody says to me, Brother Johnny, where are you from? I'll tell them what part of the country. And they'll say, did you ever know older Brother Johnny Trevilian? And I'll say, no. I never did know him. He died before my time. But I preached in the church that he founded. And he said, how it goes? I said, you'd be ashamed, me tell you. His grandson walked off and left his wife. Took up with another woman that had already had two or three men. I don't reckon. Yeah. This generation seems to be proud of the fact that they're tearing down what the last generation built. Oh, sons destroying what the fathers died to found. I thought of that old gray-haired man that I love so dear, going across this country, millions of miles carrying the gospel trying to hold a standard, trying to preach holiness, trying to preach separation, trying to preach against adultery and fornication and ungodliness and the very things He gave His life for. His sons picked up and defiled themselves with and tore it down. And no matter what happens, an old man must go brokenhearted to the grave. No wonder, friend, at this Psalm, not one time has anything, but oh God, how long? Oh God, why hast you cast off your people? God, why have you hid your right hand, plucked it out of your bosom? God, in this hour that we're living in, we need to get stirred up and say, God, give us an old time, heartfelt, Holy Ghost, sin filling, devil repenting, a written remove of God that'll bring a revival that'll get you something more than a Saturday night to a Saturday night religion. I said you need something that'll keep you more than a week. The enemy is roaring in the midst of the congregation. They're setting up their ensigns for signs. Could lay hands on the sick and healing them. They get up some about that's been to school and how to sing. And we all learned to wave together. There's a church not very far from here that if some of the old men that I got acquainted under could go in, if God didn't help them, they'd tear up the seats. Some of their children, grandchildren, and nephews, and aunts, and uncles, and nieces, children, men, women they prayed over, they've been seduced in this hour, and they've substituted some form of religion for the power of God. And now they claim to be holiness, but they sway back and forth and carry on and learn how to speak in tongues instead of praying through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They put up their ensigns, they're blasphemous. One of them not long ago advertised on a Sunday night, Jimmy Swaggart. Advertisements in the newspaper. Jimmy Swaggart preaching, singing Sunday night. When they got there, they turned down the lights and raised up a big old movie screen and begin to roll the projector and bring forth a film. Oh, call it what you want to do. It was an idol in the house of God. It was an idol raised up in the house of God. Why are we in the trouble we're in? A man once was famous for preaching holiness and being a standard bearer for the Word of God. But now they break down the carved work with axes and hammers. These days that we're living in, they're using weapons more destructive than axes or sledgehammers to destroy the gospel. They are perverting the glorious truths of holiness which have upheld the afflicted and cheered the dying by preaching a false love and a doctrine of easy believism. If it feels good, do it. Nobody cares. God loves you anyway. Do as you please. Do what you want to do. But I want you to know tonight, you can accept it or you can reject it. It's hellish. It's damnable. It's heresy. It'll burn throughout eternity in the devil's hell. Amen. Many of our old mothers, amen, many of our old mothers Amen, that raised their families up in holiness and dressed their little girls in holiness and sent their little girls to school, and their little girls bared the reproach of being dressed in long dresses and long hair and long sleeves, and kids made fun of them, have got old, and this perverted doctrine has slipped in, and these same old mamas that missed that sent their children like that have bobbed off their hair and took up a modern way. 70-year-old, it got as black as a crow's wing, trying to regain some goddess of youth. Even caught up with their hearts of lust to gain one more thrill. Oh God, how long? An easy love that seems to condemn nothing. They have defiled by casting down the dwelling place of thy name. Until Sister So-and-so can come in her pantsuit and get up on the rostrum and play the piano and sing the songs of Zion. Oh God. The Maccabeans, so enraged by Antiochus' Epiphanes, that because he brought swine's flesh and offered it upon the altars of God, it so inflamed them, though they were beat down, though they were already conquered, they were the prisoners. It so inflamed their holy indignation to see the house of God filled with such enemies that the Maccabeans grabbed their swords and said, "We'll bathe this place in our blood. We'll reclaim the sanctuary." And God honored them, and they fought valiantly for truth, and history holds them up and attest to their miracle power. My God, you know, we are not in holiness. We are holy Maccabean, and raise up the sword and cut off the adulterer. When Israel sold herself to fornication, and the whole camp was going wild, and one man grabbed him, a harlot, walked her in front of the priest, went into his tent, and committed whoredom. And all the mighty preachers stood by and said nothing, except one little man named Phineas. And Phineas rushed and grabbed a javelin, a spear, and followed them into the tent, and stabbed through him into her, and pinned them both to the ground. You know what God said? God said, "Make him the high priest. Make him the high priest. Put a mark on him. He'll be my next priest. For he was valiant for God. He was valiant for truth." Oh, he's saying, "Lord, how long, God? Draw your hand out of your bosom. God, one time you walked through the waters. You killed the dragons. You fed the whales of the men yonder. You own the day and the night. God, do it again." Oh my God. They say he'll do it again. Will he? Is he going to? Tell me we're going to see a revival. Tell me you ain't going to go out on me. Tell me you ain't going to lose out. Tell me you ain't going to sell out. Tell me I'm going to be here. I'm going to stand and I'll fight. Some way or another make me know it. Some way or another make me know it. Verse 9 says, they burned up all the synagogues of God in the land. You know what? 17 years ago, that old gray-haired man back there picked up a little old preacher boy and drove him all over this country. Egypt, Moores Creek, River Hill, Evans Chapel, and every place they took this little preacher boy. They said, "You're welcome. Preaches a revival. I haven't changed my doctrine. Brother Elijah, I ain't changed my ways. But if you took me back there now, they wouldn't let me preach. Heck, I wouldn't ask you there either. Why? Why? Because the enemy has come into the sanctuary. The enemy. Strangers with strange ways and strange looking women. Strange creatures with bobbed hair and blown earrings and flashing diamonds stand now and mouth praises that their grandfathers wouldn't understand. And what's happened? What's caused it? And now we see what the condition is. Verse 9 said, they've destroyed all the synagogues in the land. There ain't no place to go. And it says in verse 9, and we see not our signs. As the church went worldly, the power of Pentecost left the church. The signs and the miracles. We see not our signs. There is no more any prophet, neither is there any among us that knoweth how long. The results is the signs are disappearing. There's no more any prophet, nobody who knows the mind of God. Nobody who's able to give God's answer to the perplexing problems that face this generation. More and more we Pentecostals are turning to education. More and more our preachers are going to the seminaries, and I have nothing against education, but they're going to the seminaries to learn how to deal with the situations. They're getting doctorate degrees in philosophy. They're getting doctorate degrees in psychosomatic medicine. Not too awful long ago, and quite a while too, I got a letter inviting me as a pastor to come up here around Bowling Green somewhere, or maybe it was Hazel Green up in this part up here, and take part in a great minister's conference dealing with psychosomatic medicine. That means when you think you're sick and you ain't, and I know how to make you believe you're well again, everything's happy. And I thought, my God, there's a time, friend. We didn't have those seminars. We heal the sick and we cast out the devil. Amen. But we see not our signs anymore. Why? The signs of salvation. Where is the revivals when old time conviction smote men's hearts and they come weeping and crying down to an altar saying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Where is those that fall on the altars and pray and sanctify and the mighty baptism of the Holy Ghost fill a whole altar filled in a matter of minutes? Gone. Where is those mighty signs of healing and deliverance? God's people spend more time and money in the doctor's office. Oh, God. Oh, church, my heart's a-breaking. My heart's a-breaking. My heart's a-hurting. We see not our signs. Go on to the signs of salvation. Holy Ghost baptizing. Holiness living. Joyous singing. Victory. It's gone. Blame it on the air you're living in, if you want to. Boys, the devil sold you a bill of goods. It ain't the air you're living in. It's the air that's living in you. There was a day when men's thoughts was on, out of their hearts was on evil continually. They were marrying and giving in marriage. They were having homosexual orgies open in the streets. You couldn't walk the streets without being bombarded with sexual innuendos. It wouldn't stay safe to play in the streets at night because of the homosexuals that rolled in bands. And in that time, as the Bible said, there's a man named Enoch. You know what Enoch done? Enoch walked with God. And he was not, because God took him. And before God took him, he had this testimony that pleased God. If you want to know what it was, Jude said, Enoch the seventh from Adam worshipped on his staff and prophesied of the vengeance of God. Him coming back with 10,000 of his saints to take vengeance upon the wicked and the ungodly. Old man Enoch, Jeff Scaff, walked every day in the midst of adultery, walked every day in the midst of ungodliness, and he kept preaching the gospel. He kept saying, God's going to destroy you for this one of these days. God will take you off the face of the earth for this. And one day, him and God walked together and he went home with God. Could I tell you tonight, if you're planning on going home with God, you better be careful how you walk here. Paul said, let us walk circumspectly. My God. If you know that on the right-hand side of that road out there somewhere, in those high weeds, there was a rattlesnake. Already coiled, ready to strike. You didn't know where he was at, but you knew he was there. You know what you'd do? You'd walk out through there circumspectly. You know what circumspectly means? You'd get on the left-hand side of the road, and you'd watch, and you'd watch. There's some things you wouldn't be tempted by if you wouldn't go so close to. There's some things you wouldn't battle if you'd walk circumspectly. There's some things you wouldn't be tried with if you'd stay away from. Is there an answer? Return. I have returned to the God of my fathers, to the same simple faith as a child I once knew. I have returned. I'm going back to Daddy's God and Mommy's God. I don't understand these new gods of love that condones you leaving your children. I don't understand this new God that lets you do all these things. I believe his name's Dagon. Or maybe it's Amaron. Or Ashtaroth. Or some other idol. But it ain't the God of heaven. It ain't the God of holiness. It ain't the God that thundered from Mount Zion. I am a holy God! Be ye holy! That God said, I am the Lord, and I change not. I am the Lord, and I change not. That's what God said about it. I know that preacher up the road told you it was tradition, but I heard Paul say, faithfully keep those traditions that have been handed down to you. I know the Bible said, thou shalt not go to the drive-in movie. But holy men of God that walk with Him and talk with Him learn from experience that you couldn't have the victory and watch the big screen. And they, realizing that, begin to preach from their pulpits, holiness people, don't go to the show. It became a tradition. Sure, it's a tradition. The tradition that those old men handed down to me. And I remember in a camp meeting, I heard an old gray-haired man that walked with a limp. And he said, preachers, men and brethren, I covet with God to leave this thing like I found it. You know what he was saying? When men were abandoning the truth, when men were taken down from holiness, when men were letting down for their children, that old gray-haired warrior said, I'm going to leave it just like I found it. I found it pure and holy and undefiled. And by the grace of God, I'll leave it pure and holy and undefiled. You know what? Got people doing things they wouldn't do if Daddy was alive. I preach on our people, I'll leave yours alone. We got people doing things they didn't do when Daddy was alive. They're afraid of Daddy. But I want you to know something. There's a Heavenly Father that's not much more demanding than He is. And He sees everything we do. And He hears everything we say. The results of this ungodly living is the signs are disappearing. The answer is return to God. Repent of sin. And folks, could I tell you until you quit, you ain't repenting? I said until you quit it, you ain't repented of it. You can cry all the crocodile tears you want to. You can make all the vows you want to. But until you quit it in your heart, said, until you quit it in your heart, you have not repented. Repent of sin. The man of faith sees the disaster. But the man of faith sees God over all. I look around me to the left, to the right, to the north, to the south, and all I see is disaster and confusion. And I am overwhelmed. And then the psalmist said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to that rock that is higher than I am. And I stand on that rock, and I see God again. And over it all, I see the hand of God. Over all of it. Where is the enemy? Let me ask you folks a question. You're going through a trial. Point me to the enemy. Show me one tonight. Bring me one in here. An enemy of old who has ever had the final victory over God or His people. Show me that mighty kingdom that in the end triumphed over God. Nebuchadnezzar didn't. The Medes and the Persians didn't. Hitler didn't. Mussolini didn't. Christians died by the hundreds. And they sold their blood like water on the ground by the thousands. But where are the Hitlers, the Mussolinis, the Neros, the despots, the emperors? One of those emperors, might his name escapes me now, took one of that despised bunch and began to flay him alive, whipped and beaten and broken. They walked up to him and sneered at him laying in his own blood and say, "Where is your carpenter God now?" And he looked up at them and he said, "Build in coffins for your emperor." When it's all said and done, when it's all over, and the last battle's won, the flag that's flying will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And His name is Jesus! Hallelujah! There are still places, dark places full of cruelty on the earth, verse 20 said. There's still some place you have to work with that's full of ungodliness and filthiness. But the thing about it is that you get used to it and you quit thinking about it as filth. But it's filth. Women that make jokes, they're filthy. Dogs. Worse than a dog. Women that have sold their femininity and taken on a masculinity. Until they'll boldly with wanton eyes proposition you in the workplace. Let me. My husband and home don't understand me. I understand you. You are a filthy, degraded slut. I feel so sorry for her. You make me sick enough to vomit. She'll use you. She'll degrade you. She'll drag you down. She'll drag your name through the mud. And she'll split up your family and make your children daless and throw you away and get another one. And you're, my God, you're so stupid that you think she thinks you're pretty. The truth is, boys, by the grace of God, in all your ugliness, and all your hatefulness, and all your shortcomings, you found an angel of a woman that'll put up with you. You don't appreciate enough to even look at something else. Yes. There are still places full of cruelty on the earth. But God and God may not have yet answered them in thunder and lightning. It's not that He can't. But God's so big He don't have to. God has proved nothing to nobody. Plotted the destruction of the Jews. You know what God done? He didn't thunder and lightning. He just came down and visited the king. And the king got a case of insomnia and couldn't sleep. And he said, I can't sleep. I've tried everything in the world. I know what I'll do. There ain't nothing to put you to sleep like reading history. And so he said, bring in the chronicles. Bring the records and read to me of the battles and read to me of the exploits. And while they was reading, it was recorded there that some time ago, the king's chamberlains had plotted behind the door to assassinate the king and seize the kingdom. And one Jew by the name of Mordecai had overheard them and brought it to the king. And by that one Jewish heroist act, the kingdom was saved. Suddenly the king sits up in bed and he says, tell me quickly, what does it say we did to reward this great man? Nothing. What? You shall be rewarded. And God began to turn again the captivity of His people. God can take makori tamoho sataya. God can take seemingly little, ordinary, everyday, insignificant things and turn them for the glory of God. Turn them to bring praise and honor unto His name. Great is the Lord. Amen. Amen. I realize you must cry on fire to the courts. We may have no access to the courts of this land. We may lose the case of and the cause of righteousness at the ballot box as we did with the lottery in Jackson County. Do you know what those folks claim in holiness? There's no same thing wrong with playing the lottery. They're gamblers. And there's no gambler going to heaven. Someone told me that one man couldn't decide whether to come out against the lottery or not. And he had a dream. In the dream, he won the lottery, the jackpot, $1 million. He took his winning ticket up and handed it to the authorities. And they said, it's true, you've won. $1 million is yours. All you got to do is go and collect it. And they gave him the addresses to go and collect his $1 million. The first place he went to was a broken down shack. A broken pane of glass and the wind and the curtain blowing through. Little old naked babies hanging to the thin, frail body of a mama scarcely clad came to the door. What are you doing here? I've come to collect my money from the lottery. On and on he went. He went on and on, and he visited the widows and he visited the orphanages. When he awoke, he said, God, what is this? And he said, every dollar that they win, every dollar that they spend is blood money. Every dollar they spend has been food taken from some baby. Some daddy's took the last dollar he had. My God, don't you tell me it ain't sin. And Kentucky sold out and come under the curse of God when she voted in the lottery. Oh, yes, the world's still dark. And we have no access to the courts of this land for righteousness. But you listen to me. We have access to the Supreme Court of the universe. Did you hear me? I said you have an access to the Supreme Court of the universe. And there is where it will ultimately be decided. There'll be a Supreme Court above that thing sitting yonder. Monstrosity that calls itself the halls of justice. They are something above that. And His name is Emmanuel. The government of the world rests on His shoulder. Finally. Listen, boys. God don't need me and you to defend Him. God will defend Himself. I don't spend my time defending God. God will defend Himself. And suddenly He says, "Arise, God, and plead your own cause." Hey, man, this ain't some little church somewhere. This ain't some little group of people somewhere. God can't help me. If God can't plead the cause, I'm a failure. I'm going down. But remember, folks, when you can start praising God, no matter what the circumstances, you're already rising above them. If you can start praising God regardless where you are tonight, you're already coming out. If you can lift up those hands and begin to praise in God, you're already starting out. Things are already a-changing. Amen. Amen. There's strangers in the sanctuary, but give me a Nehemiah who came back, brother, to find sin valid in the house of God. You know what he done? He walked in and grabbed up his stuff, carried it out, and threw it out. And he looked at him and said, "You get out of here. I'm gonna lay hands on you." You know what he's saying? He wasn't gonna pray for him either. He said, "You get out of here, or I'm gonna lay hands on you. I'm going to lay hands on you, Sinbad. You get out of here. You ain't got no right in the house of God. You a heathen." Well, Brother Johnny, I want to be like Jesus, all right. Entering into the sanctuary, he found those that bought and sold. And he went over and picked up a few cords and platted him a whip. He kicked over their tables and drove out their animals and said, "Get out of here. Get out of here." You know, they could have whipped him. There was probably 50, 60 of them. But there's something about that man's eyes. There's something about the authority, the holy zeal that they shrank away from and fell away from. They were curs. They were dogs of the night. And the sun was shining now and they couldn't stand. My God. My God. Strangers in the sanctuary. And we see not our signs. We see not our signs. Oh Lord, how long? Will He do it again? Is He going to do it again? And if He is, are you going to go with Him? Or is He going to do it without you? I know the prodigal son came home. Thank God for mercy. But if he'd have died in the hog pen, he'd have went to hell. For the Father said, "My son that was dead is alive." You are a fool. Sean taught this morning in Sunday school that insanity that makes you believe you can get away with it, that makes you believe you can play with sin. You're too proud to break it off. And so you go wait till you humble yourself, your family, and the church, and leave us to savage what's left. But there ain't nothing left. When you fall from where you fall from, there's nothing left. They may say what they want to say, prophesy the good times, but He's gone. And He'll never come back to us again. He's gone. I saw Him fall. And He went from the place of the holy. And the mourners went about the street. And the man went to his long home. Too late. Too late. Too late. Strangers have come among us. There's a roaring in our midst. Give me liberty. Give me license. Let me do it. Understand me, Brother Johnny. I understand you perfectly. My case is different. No, it's not. I don't know how many adulterers that I've counseled with. And every man, to the last one of them, failed at the same old prostitute's trick. I feel sorry for it, Brother Johnny. There ain't nobody. She said there couldn't nobody understand her like I did.
She's got a terrible, horrible home life. You don't understand what she... What is that to you? Who made it your business? When did you quit preaching holiness and join the social club? When did you quit being a holiness mama? And start taking in harlots. What about your wife? What about your wife? How does she understand? Folks, I'm telling you, the lamentation is, why, God, have you left us? Where have you gone, God? You can say what you want to. It ain't like it was. The church that is not the church that was. We see not our signs. We sat in the funeral home the other night with Sister Gracie's sister, and old man B. McCollum told me. I told him I just come back from Richlands, Virginia. I know I'm talking long, but folks, my heart's a-breaking tonight. He told me about the old saints all the way from here through Middlesbrough, Kentucky, across the Virginia mountains. He told me about saints, great men that's now gone on to their reward, and tears had rolled down his cheeks. He told me, he said, did you meet a certain brother? Have you met him? Well, he's telling me, hey, have you met his children? He's done gone to his reward. He said, have you met his children? He was going to tell me how that...